Grace to you and peace from God our Creator, Jesus our Savior, and the Holy Spirit who dwells here today. Amen. I ended last week with this slide, and I left here frustrated with myself because I did a bad job with this slide. I did better at 11 o'clock than I did at 8:45. So some of you who are here at 11, you're like, yeah, it was okay, right? but 8:45 was rough. And I found myself just like fixated on what was I trying to get across and how could I have done that better for the whole of the congregation and for you all. We're in this baptism series through the season of Epiphany, and we're going to then talk about Holy Communion. That's our two Lutheran sacraments or holy things held together, Lent and Epiphany. And we started with Pastor Jeff Backer from the St. Dismas Prison Congregation here talking to us about what it meant for those men to know that they were beloved, that they wore on their foreheads one true name given to them by Christ, beloved child. And I wanted for us to remember that moment and how powerful it was that even in our brokenness, our deep flaws, etc., God names and claims us. And that never changes. It can never be changed. And then I told you a little story about John Stockton. I grew up in Idaho near where John Stockton grew up. And I talked about how he played his role of point guard so very well. He knew who he was and he did that one thing to facilitate for others. And we turned then to that picture of John the Baptist from the Isenheim altarpiece, standing there with his finger out, pointing to the crucified Christ, and how it is that we are all called to do our part, our one little thing that we're equipped for, that is part of that larger mission that we all share to point to Jesus. And then last week, I told you about my friend Tom, who flew in the presidential wing when the names were Kissinger and Nixon and those things, and how he started to keep a little black book, and it was not with contacts or people that he knew, but with like menus that these guys liked, notes about how they liked their rhythms, etc. He became just obsessed with doing his job the best that he possibly could so that it woke him up at night and did that. And we talked about how the call to point to Jesus is not a Sunday or a Wednesday call, but an every hour, every minute, every day call to live our faith out loud so that others might see Christ in us. As I thought back about this, not quite communicating that as well as I wanted to last week, I found myself thinking, what I was trying to help us get to was, what are the benefits of holy baptism? Why are we baptized, and what are the gifts that it gives us? I'm going to spend a little time there in just a second. But as I thought about that the first couple of days this week, I found myself thinking, well, it's a part about community and being connected here. It's a part about being forgiven and set free. It's a part about being drawing near to God, God drawing near to us, ripping the heavens open and saying, this one, do you see him? What about her? Isn't she great? So that we over and over again hear that claiming that happens. But then I found myself thinking, well, if that's what baptism is, reading this gospel, why was Jesus baptized? If the point is that God draws near to us and creates community, that's already there. If the point is forgiveness, wait a second, we believe that Jesus was without sin. Why would he have needed to be forgiven? And so I found myself then thinking about this question. Are we baptized like Jesus, or is Jesus baptized like us? And I want to explore that this morning. That's where I want to go and spend a little time in our conversation. Let's start with what are the benefits of holy baptism. I have a friend, unfortunately now has been dead and gone for about 14 months, pastor of name of Daniel Erlander. If you teach or talk about communion or baptism in the church, it's likely you use his materials. If here at Spirit of Joy you meet with Marnie to talk about a baptism, she's going to show you his books and talk about those things. And so when I think about what are the benefits of baptism, I think, about a specific page in one of his resources. And he outlines it like this. He says, essentially, there are three with a whole lot of subpoints because it is rich and complex, and Scripture says a lot of things about baptism. The first is that baptism is that point where we connect with God and create friendship. God draws near to us and goes, look how cool this one is. Oh my gosh, have you seen that one? I'm so thrilled with all of my creation and all of my creatures. It's also then the place where we as beloved children of God are reminded that we have the presence of Christ going with us forever. We light that candle and we hand that to that sponsor and we remind them that that is the light of Christ and that it burns with them wherever they go. And so it's this moment of saying Jesus is with us and loves us as a friend does. It's also a place of community. If you were here last week at 11 o'clock, you saw Ridge get baptized. You saw parents make promises. You heard Chessa and Blaze make those promises, sponsors. And then you all raised your voice. The family that comes around Ridge and around all of those others who are baptized in this community is not just those who are related by blood or by those sponsor promises, but each and every person who is a part of the Church of God. And so, we're connected one to another. Christ connected through the divine Trinity, us connected through holy baptism. And then, oh yeah, baptism is about the forgiveness of sins. And I say that, oh yeah, on purpose, because I want you to hear that almost a secondarily. It is about setting us free here and now, to know that we have been set free from all of the guilt and the shame, the struggles that we have in our lives with not being good enough. You've heard me say, I struggle with those myself. It is also about that time when we are no longer alive here on this earth, but in the resurrection that is to come, and a promise that there will be eternal life. But my argument this morning, and what I hope that you will hear, if you're a confirmation student taking notes, right? It's first that God loves us. And because God loves us, God forgives us. Okay? So then, are we baptized like Jesus or Jesus like us? That, I think, is the wrestling that's happening in the Gospels. If you look at the stories of Jesus' baptism in each of the four Gospels, they're all different. Luke and John, especially, have some interesting little notes in them. John actually never shows Jesus' baptism. It only refers to it. And it's because of a struggle with John the Baptist and giving authority or power to him. He's the one who says, I shouldn't baptize you, Lord. You should baptize me, right? I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. Slaves were not expected to untie the thongs of sandals. That was truly menial labor. He puts himself below that. All of that, though, is part of the wrestling with, why was Jesus baptized? What's the theology? If he was sinless, he didn't need the baptism for the forgiveness of sins. If he was part of the divine triune, he didn't need community and relationship. On and on down that list of what are the benefits. I had a good friend, name of George, Assembly of God pastor. My first congregation, we were in the heart of downtown. One of those places like Eastside Lutheran or First Lutheran where a lot of the traffic that comes in off the street is looking for help. And George and I were on either side of this park, like a 40-acre forest in the middle of the city. But we shared a Friends in the Park ministry where our people went out in orange vests and picked up trash and helped folks who were in need. We did all sorts of work with the homeless community there. We were on a whole bunch of boards for the warming center and other things. And George and I really liked each other. A former Lutheran pastor who had left the Lutheran church to go to the Assembly of God. But we never could get ourselves on the same page about this one thing. See, in his world, he had what's called the rule of life. This basic document that said, to be a part of our church, you're going to do these things. Right? And they're the blue laws that we think of. You don't dance. You don't smoke. You don't play cards. All of those things, right? If you want to be a member of our congregation, you're going to prove to us that you have been transformed, that you've lived righteously, that you're worth being a member of our congregation. We are Lutheran, folks. We think the exact opposite. I look out and I see a whole bunch of sinners. And I see a God who loves us all. Right? It's not that we shouldn't be transformed by baptism. It's not that we don't seek sanctification and true transformation. Nicodemus and Jesus' conversation clearly pointed out that we are to be reborn and to become new creatures. But it doesn't say that God can't love us if we don't get our act together first. Right? And so that's, I think, the change that I want to make as we're doing this thinking together. Forgiveness is not a result of God's love for us. It's not is a result of God's love for us. It's not a condition. Okay? So a couple of biblical things that this rhythm happens over and over, but two big ones. You've heard of the Exodus, right? God setting the people free from Egypt, going through the wilderness for 40 years. Confirmation students, remember, 40 just means a lot. They were there for a long, long time. And then moving into the Promised Land. In Exodus 19, God says to those people, "You will be my people and I will be your God." Then in Exodus 20, God gives the gift of the law. This is how that will look like. How we will be in relationship with one another, how we will be in communion as the people of God. But it starts with, "I will be my God, your God, you will be my people." And then comes that gift. The other one that I want to point out, kind of a big deal in our world, is the cross. I think we get ourselves twisted about how it is that work is done, and we don't know. We have atonement theories. We put our trust in God that God has given us this grace. But we as Lutherans, confirmation students, again, will tell you we do empty crosses because we're focused on the resurrection, right? Think of how many times Jesus said, "You are forgiven," before he ever got to the cross. Just the one, I'll give you. Remember the man who was paralyzed, whose friends carried him trying to get through the crowd, but they couldn't, and so they went to the rooftop and they dug their way down and lowered him? Do you remember what the first thing Jesus said was? Did he say to him, "Hey, you're healed"? He said to him, "You are forgiven. You are forgiven." And everybody went, "Who are you to forgive?" And it's then that Jesus said, "Well, should I have said, take your mat and walk?" And he does. Right? It's that moment. Forgiveness does not seem to be dependent upon the cross. The cross is a result of the God who loved us so much that he sent his one and only begotten Son. A gift given freely so that we might know what that love looks like. The depth of it, the breadth of it. So back to this slide and a little addendum to it. In the waters of holy baptism, as we go through this series and this season, it is true that we are claimed and named beloved, and nothing can ever change that. Not angels or demons, rulers or powers, things above or things below can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because God loves us so much. Look at you! Aren't you fantastic? God forgives us and sets us free to live here and now and to trust in the promise of the resurrection and the eternal life that is to come. And on that journey, in that freedom, we are called to total service for our neighbors and for the people around us. Not to do something that's foreign to us, our part, our role, who we are. But each and every one of us together, joining John the Baptist to point to Christ and him crucified. And it's not an occasional piece. It's not something we do on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights. It isn't every minute of everyday call. so that from the time we wake up to the time that we go to sleep, we would know that, yes, we are free. Yes, we are called. Of course, we are beloved. Because we are God's. And that is good news. Amen.